Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Nun. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah, the list of various forms of tumas meis that cause a nazir to lose the days that he has counted toward his nazirus completion. And it said, al kezayas meis, val kezayas netzel. We're at this point going to focus on the issue of the netzel. The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source asking, what is netzel? And on the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll notice shortly triangles appearing in the Gemara text. These are Shlavim, Levarer. We're reading from the side of the Gemara. These are stages to clarify. Mahu HaTnoyim Shenetzel Metame. What are the conditions that would allow or cause Netzel to be a source of defilement? So the Gemara mentions Ve'ezehu Netzel. Bosar Besar Hames Shekorash Umoyol Shehirsiach. Besar Hames Shekorash would be flesh from a corpse that coagulated or congealed. Rashi says Sheni Moach V'Achakach Korash. It melted and then coagulated. And Moyol Shehirsiach, Rashi says Umoyol Shehirsiach Shiyotza Mibsar Hames Kemin Mayim. There is some type of emission or exusion from a corpse, some liquid substance. V'hir siach, it was boiled up. V'korash al yedei resichus shir siach, as a result of its being boiled up, it then coagulated. The cholhani netzel kebesar hameis domi v'nozir migalei cholov. These situations of the melted flesh that coagulated, or this liquid that was boiled and korash coagulated, are sources of tumas meis, causing a nozir to take the haircut representing the end of the tuma period. Hechi domi. So now the Gemara looks into what are the circumstances. I lema delo yad inon de didehu ki korash mayhave. In order to appreciate this, so we glance at the Rush. The Rush commentary, you'll find the lower part of the page, on the first of the wide lines, we've added a little star to help you find it. Hechi domi besar hames. What's the case here of corpse flesh? E delo yadinon shebo mibsar hames. If this, if the substance is not known, we don't know that it came from flesh of a corpse. He korish mayavi. So what? It coagulates. Hey chanozim megalecholov misofik. Just because you have some material that had melted and coagulated, why should the nozir have to take the haircut? Why should he lose his days? Shemo mikicho v'niohu. It might be a result of phlegm and mucus. These are substances that even if they come from a corpse, they're not responsible for tuma. So the Gemara continues. We go to now triangle number 2. Elo diadinon didideh hu. We have some corpse flesh material, and I know that it comes from a corpse. Well then, afa gav delo korash. Even if it didn't coagulate, it would still be metame boil, because you have substance that represents an olive quantity of corpse flesh. So what is the Mishnah describing when it's with this Tanaic source, I should say, when it says Ezu Netzel Basar HaMeis Shekorash? Number three, Omar Reb Yirmiyah Bistam, meaning I know that the substance comes from a corpse. Ikorash Moyol Hu. If it coagulates, then it's, in effect, it's moyol. It's that liquid exusion that's, we'll say, flesh, or of a flesh origin. Lo korash, if it doesn't coagulate, then dilmo kichay v'niyohu, it might be then the mucus or phlegm from a corpse, and that is not metamoboil. So the knowledge of the certainty is it comes from a corpse. The korash factor, the coagulation factor, is needed in order to establish that it's flesh-based and not phlegm or mucus. Bo mine abaye me rabo. And here we start a new topic coming off of the issue of netzel, but it's not a question concerning a nozir. On the side of the Gemara, we have our topic heading, no say. Ha'im yesh netzel lebehemosh, yitamet tumas nevela. Tumas nevela has nothing to do with the topic of a nozir. A nozir is allowed to expose himself to different forms of tuma, the exception being the realm of tumas meis, death defilement. But here we're talking about an animal corpse. An animal corpse is mitama nevela. What does that mean? That if an animal dropped dead, it, as opposed to being slaughtered properly, it is mitama. It communicates defilement if you touch it or you carry it. Certainly not if you're under the same overhang or overshadow it. That is not tuma. That does not generate tuma when you're dealing with tumas nevela. The reason we're discussing this here is simply because we're coming on the heels of a netzel discussion. Bo mine abaye me rabo. So Abaye presents this question. Yesh netzel lebehema o ein netzel lebehema. Is there netzel? This whole description of some, we'll say, melted substance from an animal corpse that then coagulated, does that generate tumas nevela through mago, contact, or masa, or carrying? Or maybe there is no netzel with regard to tumas nevela. Mi amrinon ki gemiri netzel. Do we say that when we have this tradition, Gemiri is a reference to an oral tradition, these halachas are governed by an oral tradition coming from Mount Sinai. If you open up a Torah and you look in Psukim to see where these are mentioned, you're not going to find them mentioned explicitly. The Psukim deal with the nozir being exposed to Tumas Meis, but what constitutes Tumas Meis vis-a-vis the nozir, that's all based on an oral tradition, the details. So, do we say that the tradition concerning netzel as a source of tuma, that's da'osi mi'odam, only if it comes from a human corpse? Avol da'osi mi'behema lo, but if it comes from an animal corpse, not so. Oidilmo lo shna, or maybe no distinction is made. So the question is raised. The Gemara at this point says that the purpose of raising this question is actually limited to one of two opinions that deal with something called the limits of tuma chamura. There are two categories of tuma for our purposes. There's tuma chamura and tuma kala. Heavy or powerful tuma, strong defilement, and kala, weak, light defilement. The concept of tuma kala is manifest in the realm of tumas oichlin, when you're dealing with food tuma. Tuma that affects food does not affect people. What we're interested in is tuma, the realm of tuma chamura. What kind of things, what is capable of defiling a person? So the Gemara says, Ha-nicha means things are fine, meaning the question doesn't have to be raised. This issue of is there netzel behema or not need not be raised. Lamanda Omar tumo chamura ad leger. The next phrase is in brackets because it's not the focus of our discussion, but it says v'tuma kala ad lekelev shapir. There is an opinion that says that tumo chamura, tumo that affects a person, will be so even if you're dealing with things that are, we'll say, rotting or decomposing, but provided that its state is something that a ger would eat. Now, a ger is a reference in this case to a Gentile, a ger toshav, a ger who is not commanded regarding laws of kashrus. Would a person eat it? You can, without sticking to the literal translation, the issue is simply, if it's, let's say, animal decomposition, that's going bad, we'll say, as we say in common parlance, it's going bad, but people would still eat it. So if you say that tuma chamura, the kind of tuma that can defile a person, is only that which, when you're dealing with tumas nevela, meat-based tuma, animal corpse-based tuma, is only if it's in a state where people would still eat it, then our discussion is irrelevant. Why? Because netzel is so decomposed that no person would eat it. A dog might eat it, but a person wouldn't eat it. And since a person wouldn't eat it, it cannot affect a person. So we're working with this, we'll say, objective state that netzel has is something humans would not eat. Well, people wouldn't eat it, so there's no tumas nevela to discuss. Tumas nevela is a kind of tuma that's called tuma chamura, that it's a type of tuma that would affect people, would defile a Jew. But netzel, being that it's not roi leger, it's not something a person would eat, so there's no discussion. It wouldn't affect a person. We continue in the Gemara. Ela laman diomar tumo chamura ad lekelev. But according to the opinion that says that people can become defiled if they come into contact with nevela, with animal corpse material, as long as a dog would still eat it. So now netzel, as we said before, is coming from a decomposing animal corpse. That netzel is something a dog would eat. Our question, though, is there netzel when it comes to a behemoth? We know there's netzel that comes from human corpses. But what about a decomposing animal? Does the tradition concerning netzel, which, as we saw before, as defined the flesh that had melted and then coagulated, does that present a nevela problem, tumas nevela problem, being that, as we said, we're dealing with an animal source, not a human source? So now we continue in the Gemara. Toshma, here we have a Tanaic source that deals with chelev of a nevela. Himchuhu b'ur tamei b'chama tahor. If the chelev is fats that come from a creature, not a person. Some Meforshim say that the source is coming, it deals with a nevela sof tahor, but I don't think that it's important right now to focus on that. The Rashi says, Toshma chelev nevela, shimchu ba'ur, shetichu ba'ur. We're dealing with chelev. It's a fatty sections of an animal corpse or a bird corpse that was melted in fire. That's himchu, it's melted down, ba'ur, in the fire. Tomei, that is capable of communicating tumah. Bechamo, if it was melted down in the sun, simply in the heat of the sun, tohar. It would not communicate tumah. Ve'i salka daitoch yesh netzel ad lekelev. If you think, we added, by the way, yesh netzel based on the girsa of the Birkas Rosh, one of the commentators on our Masechta. If you hold that there is netzel, and the netzel represents a problem as long as a dog would eat it, well, afilu b'chamonami, even if it was melted down in the sun, it should be a source of tumah. So the fact that it says in this source b'chamator would seem to indicate that the concept of netzel doesn't apply to nevela. The Gemara rejects this. Emas memachile. At what point does the chelev melt down when you're leaving it in the sun? The sun, it's 93 million miles away from the earth, and it could be quite hot, but it's not the same type of heat intensity as something cooking over a fire, of course, on earth. So when you're dealing with something melting down in the sun, at what point does it melt down? Basar de asruach b'chamo. After it's become rotted in the sun, it first reaches a state where it's rotted. It's something that's, we'll just say it's disgusting. Even a dog wouldn't eat from it. Kevan de asrach, since it has become so rotted and disgusting, have lay offar. It's like mere dirt from the ground, which is no source of tumah. So that, all told, there could very well be netzel from behema, from a nevela, and the source that says b'chama tohar is not a refutation of that concept. All that it tells us is that when it's himchu b'chama, it first reaches a point of rottenness, of disgust, that even a dog wouldn't eat from it. And we mentioned before that the tumah chamura, according to this opinion, is based on the, we'll call it, the dog eating standard. Here, it hasn't met that minimum level which would cause tumah. Why? Because it's rotted before it coagulates. Let us take a look at the Rashi. In the middle of the wide section of the Rashis, you see a double star, make it easier to find. I would tell you that there is netzel for behema. By the way, that girsa we don't see in our Gemara text, but Rashi seems to have that there is netzel behema. V'hocha haynu taimo d'chimchu b'chamo tohor. And in this particular case, why is it that if it's melted down in the sun, does it represent something Torah, does not communicate tumah? Deimos kamam chilei chama. At what point does it finally melt down in the sun? Lebosu d'asrach, only when it's rotted. V'kima d'asrach su'o chozi afil achilas kelev. When it reaches that point, even a dog wouldn't eat from it. U'mishum hachi tohor, and therefore it is tohor. V'eino metame afilu betumah kala. It won't communicate tumah even to other food items. That shows you how extreme this is in its resemblance to dirt and not to nevela. We turn back to the Gemara when we have a new discussion. On the side of the Gemara, we have our Tat Nose. This is a subtopic heading. She'ela. Haim yesh netzel lebehema. We must make a correction regarding the topic heading. We have the topic as nitzuk. Nitzuk has to do with a flow, where you're pouring some food substance. If you have, let us say, some food that's defiled, that's tome, or a vessel that's tome, and into the tuma you are pouring from an upper vessel some food substance, and there is naturally a stream that develops while you're pouring, while coming from top down, there's a stream, and the stream would represent a form of contact between that which is below and tomei, and that which is above, that is tohar. Does the nitzuk, the flow, cause the tuma from the lower receptacle to be considered connected, and hence rise and metama that which is above? So in one word, that is referred to as nitzuk. Tnan. Kol ha-nitzuk tohor. Chutz midvash ha-zifim v'ha-tzapichis. All cases of flows do not communicate from the tumo that is below upwards to the foodstuff that is, as we say, above. With the exception of honey, that is called dvash hazifim vatzapichis. What exactly these are? So, we can look together at the Tosfos commentary, starting five lines from the bottom. Tanan Hossen, but Perek Hamishi de Machshirin, in the fifth parak of that Masechta called Machshirin, which is part of Seder Taharos. Kol hanitzok tohor, shim yotzak v'iro mashkin tohirim l'soich mashkim temeim, milamalo lamata. If a person is pouring some liquids from above downwards into a receptacle that has mashkim liquids that are defiled, lo nitmu ha-tohirim, the tohurim, the tohor liquid above, does not become tomei, the nitzuk enu chibur, a flow does not constitute a connection. Lo lutuma v'lo latara, not for defilement purposes, nor for purification purposes when that becomes an issue. The Tosfos continues, chutz min dvash hazif, in perek basra de soita, in the last perek of Masechta Sota, meforesh Rabbi Yochanan mai zifim, what is that? Dvash shemezaifin oisoi. It's honey that lends itself to Mizayef is, we'll say, literally is counterfeiting. It has to do with fake. It's, you'll see, it's diluted honey, but as far as the public is concerned, it's still viewed in their minds as pure honey. So that if you are a honey producer and you have this quality of honey that's very thick. So the Tosfos goes on to say, the fishu arov yoiser midai, it's very thick. Umusimo mayim, v'eino nikker, people are able to add water to it and it's not noticeable as having been diluted. Rav Shimon Lokesh Omer, al shem mekomo. So Rabbi Yochanan says that it's based on this ability to add water and get away with it. Rav Shimon ben Lokesh says that Jvash HaZifim is called Zifim because of its place. It's a name of a place. Shenemar, the Pasuk, makes reference to places Zif, Vitelim, Ubalis, Tzapichis. Now, what is Tzapichis? Kamo, it's like the term you find in the Torah, Ketzapichis Bedvash, which is found in the Torah in the context of the mon, that food that fell from heaven to the Jews during their sojourn in the wilderness. Klomar, Sheroidosim Nakaveris, Mu'urovim Hashaiva, it's Tzapichis Bedvash is honey removed from the honeycomb where the bees produce their honey, and it's mixed with bee or honey wax, bees wax. Ubaruch Pigurish Isa Shemetugenis Bedvash Be'elu Nitzuk Tomei Demitoch Shehu Av Harbe Choshev Oichel. It's some type of dough that's fried in honey, and it's very thick, and it's considered like a food substance. Since it's very thick, so it's considered as if the lower is attached to the upper. Let's continue in our Gemara. Having read the resha of the source, that in general flows of liquids do not constitute a connection, with the exception of dvash hazif and vatsapichis, we continue to the top of Omid Beis. Beishamai oimrim, af hamikbish shel grisim v'shel pool, mipnei shihi soledes lacharel. Beishamai adds that there is a connection. There is nitzuk when pouring mikbish shel grisim. This is a porridge made of grisin or pool, different types of grain-like substances, leguminous substances that from which people will make porridge, a thick cereal-type substance. And Reish Shammai says that the emphasis is not on the thickness aspect, but more on the fact that when you straighten out the vessel, the upper vessel from which you're pouring the porridge, soledes lachorea, the term means it springs back. It has this, we'll say, springy quality to it. That when you, I'm sure everyone has experienced this at one point or another with different types of substances, that when you're pouring them and you restraighten the vessel, you'll notice that when you're restraightening it, the substance that was being poured out tends to spring back. That's soledes lachorel. The Gemara raises a question, Rami Bar Chama specifically, and it's featured on the side under the Nosei Ayim Yesh Nitzuk Ba'oichlin. Now, this question is raised not within Beis Shammai, it's raised within the Tanakama, the Reisha, the first opinion. The first opinion mentioned that Dvash Hazifim and Tzapichis represents a case where the Nitzuk, we'll say exceptional case where Nitzuk does represent a chibur. Chibur means a connection. And as we said, if the lower substance into which this is being poured is tamei, the upper vessel and its content, the contents of the upper vessel will become defiled. Dvash hazifim and tzapichis, what exactly is their nature? It's true, when we were reading the commentaries, we mentioned they're very thick and what have you, but here we have to really become precise. There are two aspects, two possibilities of why there is nitzuk in the case of dvash, zif, and tzapichis. And then the issue is, can we extend this to other foods? The Tosfos, let's read it together simply by way of, we'll say, introduction to the Gemara. Oftentimes the Gemara presents its case in a rather terse fashion. We'll appreciate it more by having the introduction of the Tosfos. So on the second narrow line, Yesh Nitzuk L'Oichlin, this is the question that Rami Bar Chama will be raising, Kagon Himcha Shumon V'iru Hu L'Soich Oichlin Tameim. Person, imagine he melted down some fats and poured the fats into some food that was tomei, that's defiled. Ule rabbonon komi bayalei, and the question is focused on the rabbonon. That means the first opinion that we saw at the bottom of Omid Aleph before we got to Beis Shammai. Mi amrinon inun mishum diis behu riri. Is it that they pirush dvash hazif atzapiches samru chachomen davu chibor mishum diis behu riri? Is the aspect of the dvash, that honey hazifim, and the tzapichis, that the chachamim were willing to acknowledge that there is chibur because they have riri, klomar shehen soldin lachoreihem, they spring back. V'afagav the pligi amikvashel grisin v'islu riri, even though they argue with Beis Shammai regarding the porridge, lo choshev l'tanakama, the porridge connection is not of significance to the first opinion. Ubei Shammai savri afagav the less lukulei hayriri chashivi l'chaber elyon l'tachton. It's a question of there is objectively a springing back element, but it's not an intense type of spring back, and therefore the Tanakama does not regard the porridge as a connection, where Beis Shammai does. Ushar oichlin less behu riri, other foods don't have that riri, that spring back aspect. V'kuch l'shach bu mitzuk, And therefore, there isn't any nitzuk connection to discuss. So that if the dvash hazifim and sapichus that the Tanakhama says that their flow represents a connection is because of riri, because of the spring back aspect, then only by dvash hazifim and sapichus will we say there is a connection and not other foodstuffs. Oy dilma taimo de Tanakhama mishum desmichin. Maybe the reason Tanakhama says by the Dvash HaZifim and the Tzapichis that the Nitzuk is a Chibor is because of their thickness. Mishum Shem Ervim. They're very thick. Ushar Eichlan Nami Smichin. You can find thickness by other kinds of food substances that that can be poured. So all of this is a question according to the Rabbanan. Avol the Beis Shammai lokem abayale demidkomar mitneishen soldim lachrem imkein tamayo mishum riri. As far as Beis Shammai is concerned, it's very clear that the consideration is the spring back aspect, not the thickness. So they, Beis Shammai, spelled out their reason for the chibur, for the connection. The Tanakhama did not spell out their reason for the connection. And hence, there is room for this question. Now we turn to the Gemara, which will say in a very short form that which we just saw in the Tosfos. Boy, Romi Bar Chama, Yesh Nitzuk Leuchlin or Ein Nitzuk Leuchlin. Is there a pouring connection in other cases of food, or we say no, there is no connection between the Tumah below and that which is above. Mi Amrinon Mishum Deis Behu Riri Vahani Les Behu Riri. Is it so that the Tanakhama, the first opinion, acknowledged connection in the case of Zifim and Dvash Zifim and Tzabichus because of their springback characteristic? And other foods, when being poured, don't have that intense springback characteristic. Odilma, and if we say they don't have it, so there will be no connection of Nitzuk Chibor with regard to other foods. Odilma Mishum Desmichin Hu. Or is it that the Dvash HaZifim and Tzabichas are very thick? The Hacha HaSmich and other foods can in fact have that thickness quality to them. And therefore, if the lower receptacle has Tuma in it, it will affect that which is above. Omar Rava Ta Shema. You'll notice we have a new marking that appears, a triangle that appears in alternating directions. On the side, under our Mivne heading, the term Ta Shema appears in a triangle with the point facing upwards. Nisyonis Lifshot Hashem, these are attempts to answer the question, and the inverted triangle, Dechios, represents rejections of whatever attempt was made. So, is there connection? Is there Nitzuk that is a Chibur with regard to other oichlin? Omar Rava Toshma Chelev Hameis Shu Sholem Viticho Tome. Chelev from a mace, fats from a corpse that is Sholem. Sholem means it's complete, means a complete olive quantity. A complete olive quantity of fats from a corpse, Viticho, melted down, Tome, represents a source of Tuma. Hoya mufurad vehiticho tor. If it was split into, was separated, mufurad means separated into small pieces. In other words, it might altogether equal a kezias, but it was mufurad, and you melted it down, tohor. Let's take a look at the Rashi across from here. Toshma chelev shel meis. Shehu Sholem. There's another Kirsa readings in this Rashi. You find in the Bach that particular reading. Chelev Sholmeis Shu Sholem V'tichoy Tomei. Yeshbo Kezayis Sholem V'tichoy B'machvas. There is a complete olive quantity, a full olive quantity of this Chelev from the corpse. And it was melted down in a pan. Afalpishin is galgel b'machvas lo nase mufurad v'tome. Even though it melted down, but it remains together. again, this is something that if you've seen it, then that's great. If not, you'll have to simply imagine that you had something that was type of solid. It was melted down, but it didn't become separated into different droplets in the pan, but remained together. However, Rashi continues, Hoya mefurad, oisoi kezayis min hameis. The kezayis quantity was put in a pan, but it was fragmented. V'ticho, and then you melted down the fragments. Afalpishin is chaber biyachad tor. Even if the fragments, when melted down, connect with one another, there is still no tumah. Kevon dehavilei mefurad meikora, since initially it was separated into small fragments. Porcha minei tumah, the tumah literally flew away, meaning there was no tumah. V'hai dehoder chibur biyachad lo havi chibur, the chibur bideodam lo havi chibur, even though it joined together as a result of human intervention, melting it down and maneuvering the pan in causing the pieces to come together, that is not considered togetherness. It's not considered connecting. So we have seen then this source dealing with chelif hameis that started out as a kezayis and remained together, so that it will generate tumas meis, death defilement. And if it was fragmented and then melted down, it does not generate tumas meis. We continue now. The yisalka daitach ein nitzuk loichlin. If you say that a flow does not constitute a connection, well, you're dealing here with liquids. The chelev was melted down, so sholem v'ticho nami litar. Even if it started out as a solid olive quantity of corpse fat, but it got melted down, so its connection is in a we'll say the liquid connection, similar to the issue of nitzuk. So if you say ein nitzuk loichlin, so then even in this case of sholem v'ticho, it should remain tor. It should be considered disconnected at the point that it's liquidy. The Gemara rejects this and says, Omar Rebbe Zera, Ano Umar Breid Ravina, Targimna, I and more Breid Ravina explained as follows, that in general, I could tell you that nitzuk is not a chibor, that a liquid connection is in fact not considered a connection. But Targimno means we explained this source of Chelev Meshu Sholem V'tichot Tomei, Hocha B'mayaskinon, Kegon, here, Hocha B'mayaskinon, in this particular source, what are we discussing? Kegon De Bahadi, the Mirsach Lei, that as he was heating it up, as he took this Kezayis of Chelev and put it on the fire, Solik Amudo Denuro Lepume Demona, the Korash, a pillar of fire rose from above, entered the pan. It contacted the fats, and it seems to me they got melted and congealed all at one time. And the Isei Kula Gabi Hadavi, it all remains together. It's an actual connection, and it's not a connection by virtue of a liquidy connection. So because of that unique situation, there is tumah. Now, let's take a look at the Rashi. A few lines down from here in the narrow lines. I can tell you that in general there is no liquid connection when you're dealing with food substances. There was no pouring action at all. And there was no flowing, there was no movement, there was no shaking and movement from one part of the vessel to the other. The Rashi continues, it was in a pan, in one spot. It wasn't shaken around. Vahu chelev lebahadi deka mahatichle solak amuda denura lepume demona v'lo magia lo lahachav lo lahachav v'lo havi nitzu klal dekule havi bahadi adodi. There was the pillar of fire entered the pan and heated it up. There was no movement from one spot to another. The korash bimkomo, and it congealed in its spot. V'lo nisbazu lekan v'lokan mishum ochi tome. Since there was no movement, no flow whatsoever, so even though momentarily it had become melted, but it then congealed without any movement. That is not what we're talking about. It's not a case of nitzuk. Nitzuk has to do with the flow, with liquidy movement. There was none of that over here. And therefore, there still is tumah, even though in general, I will tell you, nitzuk eino chibur. Nitzuk is not a connection. Let's continue in the Gemara. Amar le Ravino le Ravashi. Toshma beishama yoimrim ach hamikbeh shel grisin v'shel pul v'tnei shehen soldin l'achorehen. Of course, a quote from our Tanaic source, the top line of this Amid. We take a look together at the Tosfos in order to appreciate this, bearing in mind that the question that Rami Bar Chama asked initially was not within Beis Shammai. What does the Gemara try to accomplish by quoting Beis Shammai? So we look at the Tosfos in the lower part of the page, the second of the widest lines. Toshma af mikbeh shel grisin v'shel pul. The reason for the connection, as far as Shammai is concerned, mishum riri, hachi, because of the spring back quality, hachi nami mistabro taima de tanakamo mishum riri, and it's most likely that that's also the Tanakama's reasoning. El Tanakama boy riri tuva, and it's just that the Tanakama requires an extreme type of spring back quality, which in their eyes the porridge lacks. The tifshot, but with this in mind, let us conclude de l'shar echlim de ein lohem riri, other foods that don't have riri at all, ein nitzuk, there is no connection. Let us continue in the Gemara. Midi irya, is there necessarily proof from that which Beis Shammai says that the Tanakama also thinks along those lines? Hosa mishum desmichin, hocha mishum riri. The Tanakama, as far as we're concerned, might very well hold that in the Reisha, the Dvash Zifim Tzapichis connection was based on thickness. And because of that, so there is connection. The porridge has the spring back quality, and for us, spring back quality is not enough to create connection. We take a look at the Tosfos. Mi di irya, hasa mishum desmichi, dvash shel zifim v'tzapichis, davi chibur l'rabonon, the honey connection that the Tanakama mentioned, haino mishum desmichi v'lo mishum biri. It's because of their thickness and nothing to do with spring back quality, ubal pligi. And this is the very basis of the controversy, the Beis Shammai Savri Af Ki Lo Smichi Havi Chibur, Kima De Iko Riri, Kogon Mikbeh Shel Grisim. Even if something lacks thickness, but it has this spring back quality to it, Beis Shammai will tell you that creates connection. V'tanakama Riri Lo Malvo Lo Morid. And according to the first opinion, the spring back quality has no effect whatsoever. So at this point in the Gemara, the question would basically remain unresolved. In other words, you could analyze it this way, or you can analyze it that way. So that if you were to use the, we'll say, the final statement of the Gemara, that the Tanakama is based on smichi, well, then other oichlim do have that quality, and it leaves room for suggesting that there would be chibur, according to the Tanakama, in the case of other food substances as well. The Al Maloi Tarvid Rekev. Of course, a quote from the Mishnah. a malot tarvid, a spoonful of rekav, of corpse decomposition. Essentially, it's a case of the corpse having decomposed, and there is resultant, we'll say, dust or dirt coming from the body that has decomposed. If you have a malo tarvid, tarvid is a type of spoon with a known quantity in the times of the Talmud. If you have a full tarvid of rekev, that would be an amount concerning which a nozir would have to stop his nazirus. He becomes defiled, and we say nozir megaleacholov. V'kamo shiro, the issue of our Gemara from here till the end of the Omid is introduced on the side with our nosei, our topic heading, Machloikes Mawa Shir Shem Lo Tarvid Rekev. So that's the question. What is the shir? What is the quantity when we speak about this amount? In other words, even the Gemara is, we'll say, not sure, in the sense that we have a controversy. What is this spoon referred to? What is this quantity? So the Gemara asks, "V'kama shiro chizki omar malo pisas hayad." It's the amount that would fit into the palm of one's hand. We say palm without the fingers, so it's from the finger joint till the wrist, that area. And Rabbi Yochanan omar malo chafonov. Rav Yochanan says it's a much larger quantity, relatively speaking. It's a handful, including the fingers. It's the amount that you could hold in two hands clasped together, filling the hands with the fingers. Tanan, malo tarvid rekev shamru. The malo tarvid rekev that the Mishnah spoke about. Yeshnon me'ikur etzbois ulamala, divrei Rebbe Meir. There is contained therein from the, base of the fingers till the tip. That's Rebbe Meir's approach. V'chachomim omrim malo chafonov. So here we have two Tanaic opinions as far as what malo tarvid is. We had previously two Amoraic opinions. Bishlamo Rabbi Yochanan hu di Omar Karabonan. Well, Rabbi Yochanan said Malo Chafonov. That is exactly what the Rabbonan say. So Rabbi Yochanan is on sure footing, being that he has a Tanaic authority upon whom to base his approach. Elo Chizkiyo Keman. Chizkiyo spoke about Emlo Pisas Yad, the amount that would fit into the palm of one's hand. Lo kerebi meir velo kerabonan. He doesn't match the Rabbonan for sure, and he doesn't match Rebbe Meir either. Rebbe Meir spoke about from the base of the fingers where they join the hand till their tips, and opinion of Chizkiya, who said malo pisas hayad, doesn't seem to match that either. The Gemara answers. Two approaches. Number one, Amri, Malo Pisas Hayad, the palm full that Chizkiya spoke of, Umalo Kishrei Etzbois of Lamalo Chad Shiura Hu. And the amount that Rabbi Meir spoke about, in effect, are equal quantities. In other words, the amount that you could put in the palm of your hand is the same as the amount that you would be able to fit into your fingers that are, I'll say, somewhat rounded in order to contain this corpse dust in it. So they're in a sense, or in effect, they are equal quantities. So malo kishrei etzbos of lamalo and malo pisas hayad equal one another. So there's no controversy, and there's another, or more accurately stated, Chizkiya has upon whom to base his opinion, namely Rebbe Meir. A second approach, Omar le Rav Simi bar Ado le Rav Papa, Mimai dahai mikishri esvoisev ulamalo le Rosh, when explaining Malo Kishrei Esvelso Lalala means from the finger joints to the fingertips. Who says that that's what Lamala means? Dilma Lamata Midide Dahave Le Malo Pisas Hayad Mamish. Maybe the expression used by Rebbe Meir, who said Meikur Etzboi Sulamala, means from where the fingers join the hand till the wrist. Now, if you explain it thusly, so then Rebbe Meir is describing exactly what Chizkiyah said. Let us take a look at the Tosfos at the bottom. Amar Le Rav Simi, Shinuya, who, this is an answer, Mimai, Dahai, Mikishre, Esvosu, Lamala, Hainu, L'Roshe, Etzboisov, that it means the fingertips, the Parchas, Mina, and then with that explanation we asked, that he has no one to base himself on, Dilmo, Lamata, Dekori, Iker, Etzbos, Mokom, Shimuchuboren, Lo, Layad. Maybe what Rebbe Meir said is actually at the connection, starting with the connection of the fingers to the hand, ulamala de ka'amar, and the term lamala that Rebbe Meir used didn't mean fingertips. Hainu letzad haguf ad perakaz roa. It means upwards. If you're, let's say you're holding your hand down, but by the side of your body, so from the finger joint to the hand, upwards means till your wrist. That's perikazra, where it joins then the arm. Dahainu mamish pisas yad. That is then exactly pisas yad. So it's not that Chizkiyah and Rebbe Meir represent two different areas that happen to have equal quantity, but Chizkiyah that says Malo Pisa Siyad is simply described exactly by that which Rebbe Meir says, from the finger joint to the hand, upwards till the wrist. The area contained there within those boundaries is in fact the Pisa Siyad exactly. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.